Let's talk about, we're going to be turning to about five places, but we're going to put it up on the monitor. So if you want to turn, you can, but we're going to put it up on the monitor for you. We began a series that we will conclude tonight is Where Are You? And the theme of this series is on proper alignment. Now listen at this. In the kingdom of God, proper alignment is critical to the success of both the believer on an individual level and the church on a corporate level, because proper alignment is essential to the fulfilling of our destiny and our purpose. I was sharing with some this evening that it's really interesting. Right now, I'm teaching my son and I, and then my wife will help me conclude it this coming Tuesday. On Tuesdays, in fact, Tamika, you signed in. We're teaching on destiny on Tuesdays on my podcast on Facebook. That's 12 o'clock. You can jump on in there. Then today at our noon Bible study in Birmingham, we were teaching on purpose. And tonight I'm teaching on alignment. I think it's very significant. I think the Holy Spirit is working overtime to get believers in their proper position, in their proper place, not only in the church, but in life. Because when we're in that place, in alignment, there's some amazing things that God has prepared for us in terms of our destiny and in terms of our purpose. So in this short series, we talked about being in the wrong place, how Jonah was in the wrong place. We talked about how Elijah actually quit the ministry and he ended up in a good place, had no more pressure on him, but he was in a cave. Today, we're going to finish up and we're going to talk about set place. But we're going to talk about set place and transition. Transition is always connected to set place. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. This is the first text that we're going to look at. We're talking about being in our set place, and we're talking about transition. There are times when there's transition. Look at 1 Corinthians, reading from the traditional King James. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them." How many Christians here? How many are born again? So God has set you, every one of us, in the body as, now notice what it says. It says, as it has pleased him. Can you see that? That's what we get the title set place. Okay? So what is set place? Now there are going to be some places that are going to move kind of fast, and then some places I'll slow down. So what is set place? Set place is a God-ordained place, position, or function. It's a God-ordained place, position, or function. What is set place? Set place is being where God wants you to be. It's being what?
Where God wants
you to be. And don't think just in church. Think across the board. It's living where God wants you to live. It's working where God wants you to work. Set place, thirdly, is what I'm calling the fulfillment zone. It's a place where you will enjoy your highest level of fulfillment. And we all want that, right? We all want that. Set place, fourthly, is a geographical location. It is a spiritual position. Set place is a mental position. Set place is a relationship position. I'll say that again. Set place is a geographical location. I always, talk about me now, I always want to be where God wants me to be. Always. Now watch this. It's a spiritual position. You can be in the right place, but not in the right position spiritually. Set place is a mental position. Set place is a relationship position. Now, let's listen at the I got two notes here. It set place may not be where you want to be. Scripture says he set us in the body as it pleased him. Then said as he pleased us. As he pleased him. So it may not be where we want to be. Listen at this. Set place might not be where it is comfortable. Here in America, we want everything to be comfortable. And there are people in other countries, other lands that are having church outdoors. But here in America, we want everything to be comfortable. We want the air conditioning to be right. We want the setting to be right. We don't want to walk. The parking lot is too long. You know, we got 140 acres at our church. And if you got a lot of folk coming to church, the parking lot ain't going to be always convenient. Now, we got little buses and stuff to try to pick people. But, you know, here in America, we don't want to walk. You know, people walking for miles in different countries. I was in Russia a few years back. And I cried every day. I cried every day. I wasn't sad crying every day, but I was just cried every day to see those precious people walk in the snow to a cold theater. And we're sitting there and our feet are cold in that theater. And they sing in praises to God and want to hear that word. And they walk up to you after you preach through an interpreter. And then they offer you coins or offer you beans because they're just so happy to hear the word of God. So set place is not going to always be comfortable. We have to get that out of our minds. Walking with God is not always, it's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. We drive 3 hours or however. Y'all probably get here quicker because y'all be not doing the speed limit. But almost 3 hours to get here, that ain't comfortable. But I'm believing for a plane. Put your faith out there. I'm believing for a plane. This shall end. This is not the way it's gonna be forever. Okay. But it's not comfortable. But I'm happy. I'm just as happy. But it's not gonna always be comfortable for you. And if that's walking with God, if walking with God for you is going to be comfortable, you're never going to reach your destiny. Because you're going to hit some hard places sometimes. Going to hit some difficult places sometimes. Come on, say this. We're not in heaven.
We're not
in heaven. Okay. Not yet. One day we're going to get heaven. It's going to get real easy in heaven. Okay. But while we're here, we're going to have enemy forces. And we're going to have challenges that's trying to hinder us from getting into our destined place and fulfilling our purpose in life. So it may not be comfortable. Listen at this. But every person in Christ has a set place. And even if it's not comfortable, you'll have peace on the inside of you. You can have peace even in the midst of the storm. Amen. Let's look at another text. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read the text and then we're going to come back. And then we're going to look at these different things: geographical location, spiritual position, mental position. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 16. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord." Now I ask. Ask my assistant to highlight certain words because I'm going to emphasize these. Now notice what it says. What it says, come on, talk to me. What it says, the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Now watch what the Lord said. "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee."
There.
Come on, say there.
There.
Brother John Osteen, how many heard of Joel Osteen?
Yeah.
Okay, just about everybody heard of Joel. His daddy, I fell in love with his daddy. His daddy's name was John Osteen. And he preached a wonderful message before he went to heaven. It was called A Place Called There. There's a place called there for every person. There's a place called there. So he said, go to this brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee what? There. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. He drank from the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now, transition. Come on, say transition. We're going to talk about set place, but we're going to also talk about transition. So he's by a brook. Brook dried up. Transition. Say transition. So now a transition is going to take place. Watch this. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell what?
There.
Behold, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. Okay, so there's a place called there, even in transition. Even when God transitions us, there will be a place called there. Sometimes people in our church are relocated. They're relocated. And when they talk to me about relocation, because my assignment is to help the flock fulfill destiny. My assignment is not just to have them connected to me. Fulfill destiny. So sometimes they relocate. So my desire and my concern is not that they relocate, because God can relocate, God can transition us. But I always want to know, okay, have you thought through it? Where are you going to go to church? That's very important. It's very important. The word of the Lord came. See, that word is critical to your success in life. So when people transition to a place and there's no church, no, and they're going to dry up spiritually, I'm concerned whether or not God made the transition. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
It concerns me, because even in transition, it's a place called there. Remember that fulfillment zone. Fulfillment zone. Now watch this. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and cruse that I may drink. She was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it to me, after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord. We're back to that word. I had in the highlight. We're back to what? We're going to always be coming back to the word. Now watch this. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, barrel meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruel voice fail to the day that the Lord sent rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many what?
Days.
So notice fulfillment. Even in the transition, there was what? Oh, there was not death. God's not going to transition you to death. Now watch this. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. We're talking about set place and transition. And we're talking about set place first, and then we'll talk about transition. Now, listen carefully. Successful people live life on purpose. Whenever I'm teaching, I always have a person. I'm always going somewhere. Okay, I'm always thinking about you and how can I help you get to the next place. Now, listen at this carefully. Set place is a geographical location, right? It's a geographical location. Watch this. It is being where God wants you to be. Isn't it? So for Elijah, it was two places, by brook, Cherith, and Zarephath, right? Both places was where God wanted him to be. It's a geographical location. Set place is also a spiritual position. It's doing what God wants you to do. Doing what God wants you to do. I said this, Naomi was prompting me to share what I was sharing today. So some of it's going to come out what I was sharing today. doing what God wants you to do. Doing what God wants you to do. It is a spiritual position. Verse 5 said, he went and did. God said, go to the brook. He went and did. Verse 10, God said, go to Zarephath. He arose and went. Okay? The Bible says the widow woman is there. She went and did. Okay, it's a spiritual position. It's doing what God wants you to do. I said this morning, we're talking about purpose, and I said that it is possible, to complete a full career, where you've achieved much, gained wealth, obtained status, and not fulfill purpose. And from the vantage point of everybody thinking you wonderful, and when you die, they put a statue up for you, it is possible to still stand before God and have never done what God wants you to do. That's serious, isn't it? So set place is also a mental position. It is humbleness of mind, yielding to God and the Holy Spirit's instructions, listen carefully, even when it doesn't make sense, and even when you want to do something else. It's a mental position. It's yielding your mind, even when it doesn't make sense. When the Spirit of God instructs you, even if it's not what you want to do, you yield. It is a mental position. It is a mental position. It's humility of mind. Think about it. Here God says to Elijah, I want you to go by this brook. I've commanded ravens, some birds to feed you. Okay. You don't want to rationalize that. See, you don't want to find the logic in that. It makes no sense. But he went and did. He tells Elijah in transition, I want you, watch this now, I want you to go to Zarephath because I've commanded a widow woman. And in those days, widow women, that was synonymous of poverty, because that means her husband, who was the breadwinner, had died. She had nothing. And God says, I'm going to use somebody who has nothing to sustain you. It makes no sense. But you yield your mind to it. Now I'm going to tell you something about us coming to Columbus. From all our research, listen to carefully, from all of our research in terms of doing multi-sites and all that, it is better, it is advisable that you do multi-sites in the area close to the main campus. What we're doing and what others are doing, because we're not the only one doing what others are doing, it does not make sense. It does not make sense to go from one state to another state and you don't know anybody in that state and start a church. And you don't know anybody in that. You don't know anybody. I've said this before and it's still me. It's still the same. You take me 3 blocks from this location right now. Just take me 3 blocks. I'm lost. I'm big time. I'm big time lost. Just three blocks. And I'm big time lost. It really doesn't make sense. But that's not how we are led. Precious people, we're not led by sense. We're not led by sense. We're led by the Spirit of God. We take the time to wait on God. We take the time to hear from God. And it's about doing what God wants you to do, even when it does not make sense. Watch this. And even when you don't want it. Anybody here ever done something you knew it was the right thing, but you didn't want to? Thank you for being honest. You did it because it was the right thing. You knew God wanted you to do it. That's what set place is. It is a mental position, but it is also a relationship position. It's being connected to the right people who are critical for your success. There are people, and I said this today, there are people that are critical for your success. white guy, a classmate, a white classmate of mine. We graduated together, same high school. We got separated. I went off to college. He went to another Bible school. And later on, I didn't know him in school. I played high school basketball, so sometimes people may know you that you don't know them. I didn't know him, you know of him, but then they have know him, really. And we connected, and that guy led me to the Lord out on the baseball park. He was critical to my success. For some of you, I'm critical to your success. I'm here because I'm critical to your success. But listen at this, listen at this, listen at this, listen at this, listen at this. You listen at this. I want you to listen to this. You listening to me now. I want you to listen. I want you to listen at this. I want you to really listen. You gotta be listening to this. You gotta listen to this. I'm critical to some of you, but you're critical to me. There is something. We don't always know what it is, but there is something that you bring to the table to me. There is something that you will help me to fulfill my destiny. I just believe everything is mutual. It's never one-sided. It's never one-sided. So it is a relationship position. That widow woman was critical to Elijah, but Elijah was critical to her. I said this on our podcast yesterday. When you're faithful to your call, to your assignment, and to carry out the gift that God has placed on your life, it will attract people to you that are critical to your success. Joseph was in prison. But the gift on his life and his commitment to that gift attracted the butler. And the butler was connected to the palace. And the palace was critical for his success in life. There are people, I ain't talking just church now. There are people, maybe you're in business, maybe you're in education, whatever it is, but there are people that are critical to your success. And that's why it's so important. Even those of you that are going to college and going off to school, it is critical. All those things are connected. All those are connected. I went off to school, and all I was doing was playing that basketball. I was running behind that ball everywhere I could go. Wherever the ball bounced, that's where I'm going, baby. That ball bounced, it could have bounced in China. I would have been in China. But that ball bounced in Kentucky, and I ran into my wife. And been married to her for 40 years. I know that shock our new people, 40 years. How could you be married 40 years? You don't look like you could be married 40 years. Well, I was 9 and she was 8 when we got married. So really, I'm not that old, okay? But I'm talking about being connected and being where God wants you to be. And if you're praying, there are times when God will be leading you. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you have a consistent prayer life, God going to be leading you even when you don't know you're being led. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay. Now, what's the benefit? And then we're going to transition to talk a little bit about transition. When I get into transition, I'm going to move real fast, okay, because I got 3 sermons in 1, okay? But I want to keep you here all night. Let's talk about what are the benefits in your set place. I've already said it, but I reiterate it. It releases supernatural provision. It releases what?
Supernatural
provision. It provides protection from physical danger and sinful situations. It provides protection from physical danger and sinful situations. I took all this from 1 Kings 17. It releases God's glory. And it positions us, provide supply to the right people. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard people say it doesn't matter where you go to church?
Yes.
As long as you're serving the Lord? That's not true. That is not true. It is not true. God has set the members as it has pleased him in the body. Why? Watch this. So that you will provide a supply to the right people. See, people come to church all the time and they think they're coming just to hear the word. No, you're not just, church is not just about you hearing the word. Church is, the Bible all through the New Testament talk about how the members are to serve one another. It talks about one another, love one another, care for one another, admonish one another, teach one another, counsel one another, warn one another, comfort one another. Church is, you're supplying. There is something on the inside of you that nobody else has. That's why we tell people who join our church, we'll be a better church because of you. Because you have a unique anointing, grace, gift, something on the inside of you that you're supposed to supply. You understand that? Watch this. And when you're in set place, you're making that supply to the right people. You can be in another place doing a good thing, but you're supplying the wrong people. I'm gonna let that settle. I'm gonna let that soak in for just a settle. That's serious, isn't it? That's why we should always be praying. That's why we should all be praying. You know, it's funny. Every time somebody died, we preach it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because they was in the Sunday school class. They taught Sunday school for 40 years. 40 years. And we know when they get to heaven, they're going to stand and Jesus is going to have this big old heavy trophy. I mean, this big old heavy trophy because they served in the church for 40 years. But what if they were supplying instruction to the wrong people? And then they get to heaven, and I don't want Jesus to say this. Well, are you standing before glory? I mean, you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus said, well, no, you don't want that. You want him to say, well done. You want him to say, well, no, you want him to say, well done. Now, can I shift gears? I want to shift gears. Talk about transition. It's going to be critical. Remember, I'm always thinking now. I'm doing everything I'm doing on purpose. Let's talk about transition. Okay? Now, we saw transition in that text from the brook to Zarephath. Right? Now, listen at this. Transition means movement, changing from one place, position, state, or stage to another. There are three kinds of transitions. Let's look at a text. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14, it says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is one of the key verses in the text. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what?
Earthly.
Talk to me. Earthly. And what? Devilish. Now, watch this. Where envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit. Now, I underline without partiality. And without hypocrisy. I underline that for a reason. So when we look at that text, here's what I derive from the text. I derive that there are three kinds of transitions. There are satanic transitions. There are human influence transitions. And there are divine transitions. Transitions that are influenced by God. Okay, let's look at this for just a moment. Now, I wanted to bring out something. I believe that God wants us to have a diverse church. Okay? I believe that God wants us to have a diverse church. People of all races, creeds, and colors. I just believe God wants us to have what? We're not as diverse in Birmingham as I would like for us to be. Couple of white guys employed in our church that work for us, and we got some people in the church, members in the church, been with us for a long time, but we're not as diverse as I believe God wants us to be. I'm believing God that we'll be more diverse here. Are you believing for that? Are you believing for that? Oh, I ain't hear a whole lot on that. Okay. I'll believe in you. You're going to believe for that. Now, the Bible says, watch this. The Bible says that the wisdom that is from above is without partiality. I wanted to bring that out. The word partiality means unbiased, unprejudiced, not to be parted or divided. When believers are led by the wisdom that's from above and not by culture, skin color, or comfort, there would be no prejudice, racism, or division in the church. Got it? Okay. Now, you may be different. I may not even need to say this, but I don't know. So when people of different ethnicities and races come to the church, you can't look at them like, what y'all doing here? Okay, you can't be looking at them like, hey, this our thing. Got it? Got it? Because God sent Elijah to Zarephath, and Elijah was a Jew. The widow woman was a Gentile, totally different race. But it didn't matter to God. I got a series I taught this year called When Color Doesn't Matter. Stuff like that doesn't matter. Shouldn't matter to you. Shouldn't matter to me. Amen. Now listen at this. Some transitions are satanically influenced. I'm going to move through this kind of fast. Transitions that are influenced by Satan. The Bible says some wisdom is devilish. James 3:15. There's seven things that Satan used to influence believers to move out of their set place. He used feelings, hurt, rejection, shame. He used flaws, sometimes the personal weaknesses in leadership, and I'll talk about that in a minute. He used discontented, disgruntledness. He used preferences. I like this music, don't like that music, race, denominational theology programs. I had a man tell me many years ago, he said, I know I'm supposed to be at this church, but I don't like the music. Wow. And he never, good man, now I ain't talking about no bad man, good man. Wonderful man who loved me. If you ask him today, I haven't seen him in a while. If he's living, you ask him today and say something about the church, he's going to say something positive about the church. He's going to say something positive about me. And he told me, he walked through the door one day. He said, I know I'm supposed to be here, but I don't like the music. So he allowed a preference, never join, move him to outside of it. Sometimes it's distractions. It can be jobs, school, relationships, activities, personal interests. Sometimes it's deprivation, lack of transportation, finances, clothes, health, and sometimes he'll use disappointment when our expectations are not realized. So some transition is satanically influenced. But some transition is human influence. You going? I'm going. You joining? I'm joining. You leaving? I'm leaving. Let's look at John. Let's look at John 21. Let's look at John 21. You get anything out of this? Let's look at John 21. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Then Simon Peter said unto them, I'm going fishing. Now, going fishing doesn't mean just I'm finna go out to the lake. That means I'm going back to fishing, because he was a fisherman. Jesus had died. They were confused. They were disappointed. He said, man, I'm going back to my job. Now, watch this. And they said, we're going to go with you. Six other disciples had a call on their life following somebody. And then they got out there and fished and didn't catch a thing. Some transitions are people. It's people. We're following people. Now, here's the challenge sometimes with making decisions based off people is sooner or later, you're going to hit a hard place. Because it's the nature of life. We're not in heaven. And if you don't have a word from God, you'll quit. If it's people, I see people all the time. They join churches because of people. You joining, I'm joining. I see people leave churches because of people. You leaving, I'm out of here. The problem with that is sooner or later you're going to hit a hard place. And it's going to be tough for you. So you need to pray and hear from heaven. You need to pray. You need to pray because nothing is going to be everything you want. I've been pastoring this church for 38 years, man. It ain't what I want. There's a lot of things I could change in our church, okay? You're never going to be a part of anything that's going to be perfect. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's important that you know that God is speaking to your heart. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, I'd rather start off with five people that believe God want me here than to have a bunch of folk and they don't have a clue whether they should be connected or not. Because with those five, Bible said two or three. He said, I'll be in the midst. You can do a lot with people who are on the same page and people. I want everybody to come. I want all y'all to come. But I want you to hear from heaven. I want you to take the time. I want you to pray. Because it'll be some challenges that we're faced. And we got to have people who feel like God wants me. Now, I'm talking about the church, but take that to any arena. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? You may be somewhere else, and it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. You're not a bad person because you don't want to connect. It's all right. But know why you're there. Know why you're there. Hear from heaven. Take the time to hear from God. And that's what I did with this, with starting here. I spent time, man. I spent time. I said, God, I want to go down there if you ain't going to be with me. I want to go down there. It's going to be hard if you ain't with me. It's going to be difficult anyway. And then to know you ain't with me. And see, I know what that's like. See, I know what that's like. Years ago, we bought this hospital. We bought a hospital. Our motives was right. We wanted to provide medical care to those who were underprivileged, and we bought the hospital. But we bought the hospital. We were right in the middle of building the act. Some of y'all seen the activity center. We were right in the middle of building the activity center. That's a $26 million project, right in the middle of that. And so we had this thing about this providing medical care and that thing, and the hospital, historic hospital, you know, Holy Family Hospital. We bought that hospital, but I knew God wanted us to do this activity center. We had paid off the other thing, and everything was moving. And all of a sudden, in a meeting, some good people who had done this before, had done clinics before, said, "It's plenty of money out there for clinics." And I heard that. There's plenty of money out there for clinics. In other words, we won't have to stop what we're doing because there's plenty of money out there for clinics. We bought the hospital. You talking about a hard time. Jesus. It was going to take us $10 million to just renovate the thing. Had asbestos everywhere. We bought the hospital. That thing was so hard. It was just hard. Oh, God, it was hard. It was hard. We confess and we believe it. And then I got to a place. I'm trying to figure. Because whenever you hit a hard place, you got to know God says something to you. See, I keep a journal, and I go back to my journal. When I hit a hard place, I go back to my journal and read it, see? And that holds me. That keeps me steady. You know, I don't get caught up with what's going on. I got to thinking, what did God say about the hospital? I said, what did God say about the hospital? What did he say about the hospital? He said nothing about the hospital. The people said it. I was led by the
kind of people. God is not obligated to provide because we live by people.
And we end up, thank God, we spent a little money, but thank God we sold the hospital. Got away from money, just spent a whole lot of time, divided our focus. It kind of hurt us a little bit, but God, some, you know, the beauty of God, that's why I was telling today at Bible study, that even our failures and mistakes don't abort God's destiny for our life. So I had to repent and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me for this, because you never was in it. My heart was right, but you never was in it. And now we got to get away from under. So sometimes we're being influenced by people. I want to close out by talking about, there's a third kind of transition. And I'm really talking longer than I wanted to talk, because I like for you to ask questions, but I want to finish this. Sometimes we're transitioning because of Satan's influence. Sometimes we're transitioning because of human influence. But sometimes we're transitioning because of God's influence. Some transition is God. It was God. Well, let's look at a text. Turn to Ezekiel. Won't have to turn into more. Let's look at Ezekiel. And I can kind of wrap this up. And I'm going to give you some information that will help you in transition, especially when it comes to church. Especially when it comes to church. It says, this is Ezekiel 34, verse 11. Five verses. But thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Look at the next verse. As the shepherd seek out the flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloud and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Now I brought you to that text because I wanted to say this, that all transition is not the devil. I had to learn that even as a pastor. See, I had to learn that as a pastor, because sometimes people join your church and we get all excited, but sometimes people leave your church, and if we're not careful, we'll take it personal. Does that make sense? All transition is not of the devil. In our text over in 1 Kings, Elijah was led by God to the brook, but he was led by God to transition. This happens sometimes even in church, in the church world. Sometimes people are transitioning. Sometimes they're transitioning in, sometimes they're transitioning out. Now listen at this. Sometimes God sends people to a church for a period of time to learn certain things or receive training. Then God will send them out. In some cases, God will send them back. We've had that happen in our church. Sometimes, and that's what I had to learn over the years, it's not personal if somebody leaves Faith Chapel. In fact, I give members, they want them, I give them my number. And I say, listen, if you ever need to talk to me, talk to me. It's not personal. So what I learned as a pastor and I learned as a shepherd is that the sheep never belonged to me in the beginning. We just stewards, you know. Sheep didn't belong to us. So God can do what they want to. And I've even shared this with other pastors, because we have insecurities too. We have our insecurities. And sometimes God can bring people to our churches to learn something. We've had people come to our churches to learn from me, to learn from the church. Now they've started churches. We've had people come to our church and they left and they went to another church. Maybe God wants them to learn something somewhere else. It's not personal. All transition is not of the devil.
Sometimes people, and I had to learn this, sometimes people send people to your church and it's permanent. I got people been with me. How long y'all been with me? 22 years. 28 years. See, how Sam? About 28 years. So sometimes God send people to your church and they're part of the furniture. They just a part of the furniture, you know. And then sometimes God sent people to your church to learn, and they learn something from you, and then God may send them somewhere else for them to learn from somewhere else. I'm saying this to you because I don't want you, if you connect to Faith Chapel, I want you to think it's personal with me. It's not personal. My assignment is to bless you. My assignment is to help you to get to wherever you need to be. If I'm the elementary teacher, I told that Lord one time. You know, sometimes members come to you and say, well, they'll say things like, I'm being led to learn on another level. And so what I told the Lord, I said, well, if I'm the elementary school teacher, I'm going to be the best elementary school teacher. Listen, you're going to learn them ABCs, I tell you that. You're going to learn arithmetic. And so, you know, sometimes as pastors, we're insecure. And I'm going to give you some instructions that it may be difficult for you. Because we don't all have ourselves together, too. Sometimes the Christians, the sheep don't have themselves together. Sometimes the pastors don't have themselves together. So listen at this. There are other legitimate reasons that a member may move their membership, including doctrinal error. I don't think God wants us to sit down and listen to doctrinal error. Sometimes it may be unconfessed sin in the leadership. I don't think God wants us to just sit down to somebody that wants to do everything and just tuck it up and listen to it. Sometimes God moved people for that reason. Sometimes it's job transfer. Sometimes it's moving to another city. Sometimes it's military assignments. So there are legitimate reasons why people transition out of churches. It's not all the devil. Okay? It's not all the devil, okay? I want to close by giving you an exit strategy. Okay? So if some of you are deciding to come to Faith Chapel, but you are leaving somewhere, I'm going to give you an exit strategy, okay? This will help you if you're part of Faith Chapel and you decide to go somewhere else, you have an exit strategy, okay? Listen at this, and I won't be long. Exit strategy, considerations for legitimate transition. Number one, pray diligent through the issues and get God's mind on the matter. Take the time to pray through the thing and get God's mind on the matter. Number two, never leave with unresolved issues of anger, bitterness, or unforgiveness. So if you're coming from somewhere, if you're coming here from somewhere, in fact, I'm going to help you with this one. This one, I'm going to help you because we got to start off right. We got to start off because we're going to do some great things. So if there are unresolved issues of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, you have to work through that. Always do your best to inform those in authority, either in person or by letter or other means, about your decision to leave. Don't go AWOL. Don't just not show up. I know it's the easier route. I know it's the easier route. I know it's the easier right, but it's just unethical. It's just unethical. You know, sometimes it can be in person. Sometimes it can be a letter. If you're scared of your pastor, you're scared. You're scared. You're scared. Lord, I'm scared, Jesus. I know we don't all have it together. I know we all have it together, but you want to be right. Does that make sense to you? You want to be right. Do not make a scene of production out of your leaving. I'm going over here to... I'm going over here to where it's happening at.
Don't do that. Please don't do that. When you leave, leave. Do not keep mailing in the place you chose to live. Do not say negative things to others in the church, and do not try to influence them to follow you. Leave. If you come in the Faith Chapel, I want you. But don't sow negative stuff in people's. Don't do that, because it's kingdom. It's all kingdom. It's just a different vineyard, but it's all the same chief shepherd. So don't sow negative stuff in churches. Leave in such a way that your godliness will be exemplary. You will be missed, and you will be welcomed back. I have people leave our church and they come back and say, I'm back. And they say, what I got to do? What I got to do? In other words, they think they got to go back through the new members class and then, I guess get baptized again. And so I say, you don't have to do nothing. Tell the people, you're back. And get busy. Don't be a carrier of negativity to your next church or talk against your former church or pastor. Let me tell you something I've seen in our churches. Because I want us to be respectful. Okay? If you leave in something, don't go somewhere else and then turn around and throw a rock at where you came from. Because you were there. And there is a good chance if you were there for a season, it blessed you. It blessed you. And I've seen it from a personal standpoint. I've seen people leave the church and turn around and throw a rock when they got saved here. They learned about the word here. And then on the other hand, I've seen people come to Faith Chapel and they stand in line, because I stand in line after every church, every sermon. Sometimes I'm there an hour after church talking to people and they want to talk to me about their church, and I don't let them do that. And I love you, but I'm not going to let you do that. You're not going to talk to me about your former church. You're not going to talk to me about your pastor in a negative way, because I will be sweet, but I'll make you feel bad. I ain't gonna curse you out or nothing like that, but you're gonna feel uncomfortable when you get through talking to me. I had a man come up to me, and I'm sharing this so you won't do it. If you're here and you're happy, be happy. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand. If you're happy and you know it, then you. Faithful Sheila showing. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand. Okay. There's nothing wrong with being excited about something new or something different, but you never want to talk against your former church or your former pastor. I had a man come up to me. First thing he was saying, how excited he was about the church. How excited he was about the church. He came from y'all church. He came from y'all church. He's so excited about the church. And then he started talking. And going to talk to me about, and that's my friend. You're going to talk to me about him. I said, shh. I said, hold it. I know he's embarrassed. I'm telling you this so you won't be embarrassed. I know he's embarrassed. I said, hey, I said, if you got a problem with him, then here's what I want you to do. You go here and talk to him and you straighten that out, and then you come on back. He went, and he talked, and they came back, and he functioned in the church. But that's ungodly. That is ungodly. To talk about somebody that maybe taught you the ABCs or taught you arithmetic or whatever they taught you, and if you were there any length of time, you had to learn some, or you were just stupid for being there. did I say that right? Did I say it right? So the last thing I want to say, church, is thank God and be appreciative of the things you learn in every place. Every place you thank God. And if you see a former pastor, see a former church, thank you, Pastor, for what I learned. I appreciate it. If I can help, I'd be glad to help. Does that make sense? God looks at that. You understand that? He looks at your heart, and he'll keep taking you to another level.